Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you this morning. As you can see outside, today is a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day to gather as the people of God, having this opportunity to meet upon the first day of the week to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And it really reminds me about Christianity and how wonderful it is to be a Christian, to be a child of God. As we think about Christianity, it means, first of all, that we have fellowship with our God, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. Having a relationship with God that really allows us to draw near to Him, and He draws near to us. Being a Christian means that we have eternal life as hope, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18 and 19. And being a Christian means that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, according to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. This world needs Christians because Christians can make a difference in this world. However, with this amazing life comes great responsibility. God has given us divine expectations, and God wants us to live up to those expectations. You see, if we don't take Christianity seriously, we can miss out on the benefits that this Christian life has to offer. I believe one of the challenges that we all face as it relates to Christianity is learning to examine ourselves. But that's what we are commanded to do. We are to take time and we are to examine ourselves spiritually speaking. There are a couple of passages that you may have in mind as we think about that idea of examining ourselves. I believe one of those verses was mentioned this morning in our Bible study in James chapter 1, verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, James says, this is the one that's going to be blessed by God. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that we're encouraged to examine ourselves. Examine yourselves, Paul says, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves. And so again, throughout the New Testament, we are encouraged, we are commanded to take spiritual inventory, to look at our spiritual life in view of what the Word of God says. Perhaps one of my favorite passages on this subject comes from the Old Testament, from Psalm 119, verse 59 and 60, where David says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. You see, David practiced what we're talking about this morning, examining ourselves. Lord willing, over the next several weeks, our lessons that will be coming from God's Word should help us examine ourselves. The lessons that we will be looking at over the next several weeks should help all of us focus on our relationship with God, encouraging us to draw near to God as He draws near to us. We're going to begin a series of lessons focusing on a phrase that we find in Scripture. Some refer to this as the one thing passages. Again, we'll focus on that phrase, one thing, because as you look at Scripture, you're going to see that phrase. For example, in Mark 10, verse 21, Jesus told the rich young ruler, one thing thou lackest. Jesus told Mary in Luke 10, verse 42, one thing is needful. You remember the blind man that Jesus healed in John 9, 25? He says, this one thing I know. And you get an idea that as we look at these passages that I've just mentioned, every time you see that phrase, this one thing, there's always an exhortation attached to it. And so we want to spend some time over the next several weeks looking at that phrase and looking at that exhortation that is attached to that phrase. And I believe that it will cause us to really think about our spiritual life. It will help us focus on our relationship with God as we draw near to Him. Well, the first passage that I want us to consider this morning in our study as we look at this particular phrase is found in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, where the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Now again, that's the phrase that we're highlighting in our study this morning. "This one thing I do," Paul says, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." You can see from this particular statement that Paul turns his mind, he turns his thoughts to the athletic world. You see, Paul saw in the athletic world many spiritual analogies. And he's going to use this analogy of running a race, pursuing a prize to motivate us, to encourage us to examine ourselves. In fact, you see that's what Paul has in mind. Now, I mentioned verse number 13, but if you go back and look at verse number 12 down through verse number 16, you will see that's the context. In fact, let's back up to Philippians chapter 3 and let's begin at verse number 12 just to get the context, and we'll read down through verse number 16. Paul begins in verse number 12, "Not as though had I already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, or complete," Paul says, "be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Again, you can see what Paul has in mind in these verses. Paul is running a race. He sees a goal, and as he's running the race, he is striving to gain that prize, to take hold of that prize. Paul makes it clear, as you'll notice, in verses 12 and 13, that the prize isn't something that he's already attained. This is something that he's running toward. This is something that he's pressing toward. He's reaching toward the finish line to receive that prize. Essentially, Paul says, as long as I'm in this life, I'm going to keep running the race. I'm going to keep the prize before me, and I'm going to pursue the prize. Think about that. Think about what Paul is saying in these verses as he's running the Christian race, as he's living the Christian life. As long as I'm alive and here upon the earth, I'm going to pursue the prize. You see, it was that prize that motivated Paul to live and to be the Christian that God wanted him to be. Paul, again, had the prize in mind. "This one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind," Paul says, "I reach forth unto those things which are before." Let me mention three principles to you this morning that can help all of us pursue the prize. Again, that's the motivation that we should have in this life. Pursuing the prize. And so let me again give you three principles that will help all of us pursue the prize. Number one, there must be an awareness of the need to pursue the prize. Again, there must be an awareness of the need to pursue the prize. You might be interested to know if I've done my math correctly. Now, there could be a question on that. When Paul wrote this, he has probably been a Christian for about 30 years. 30 years. And so you think about Paul being a Christian for 30 years. After 30 years of being a Christian, what is Paul doing? Paul is still pursuing the prize. In fact, we can back up here in chapter 3. And as you look at really at the overall context, what is Paul doing in verse number 10? Look at verse number 10. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Oh, verse 10 reveals what Paul was pursuing. He was pursuing a relationship with his Lord. He was pursuing this fellowship that he had with his Lord. And he would continue to pursue the prize as we continue to read, beginning at verse 13 and following, even if it meant that he would suffer. You go back to verse number 10, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You see, Paul was never more like his Lord than when he found himself suffering for righteousness' sake. When he found himself suffering because of who he served, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul was aware, as long as I'm in the flesh, as long as I'm here on this earth, I am going to pursue the prize. Paul knew that this was something that he hadn't attained yet. The crown, the prize was something that he hasn't received. And so as he's going through this life, he is pursuing the prize. If we're going to pursue the prize, again, there must be an awareness of the need to pursue the prize. And again, our phrase, this one thing I do, reminds us of that awareness, again, of pursuing the prize. Remember, our pursuit is a heavenly pursuit. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, if any man be risen with Christ, you seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You set your mind. Again, if we're going to pursue the prize, we have to learn to think on a spiritual level. We have to be seeking the things that are above, realizing that there are many distractions that can cause us to take our eyes, to take our focus off of our heavenly pursuit. Again, if we're going to pursue the prize, we have to remember that this is a heavenly pursuit. And we have to be concerned about the things that are above. So many go through this life and they never learn to look up. Spiritually speaking, they're always looking down. Think about the rich farmer. In Luke chapter 12, he was always looking down. The only thing he was concerned about was building his empire, tearing down his small barns and building larger. He never learned to look up. Oh, this is a principle that we need to be reminded of. We need to, again, to be aware of the need to look up, to pursue the prize. As Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, be aware of the need to pursue the prize. Seek the kingdom first. Turn, if you would, to another Old Testament passage that I believe you will find a lot of encouragement from. Turn over, if you would, to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. And as we think about this first point, there must be an awareness of the need to pursue the prize. Listen to what David says here in Psalm 143, verse number 10. And see if you see that attitude in David here. Lord, verse number 10, teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Listen to it. And lead me into the land of uprightness. I think when you go back and really look at what David is saying, David was aware of the prize. And as David was going through this life, his attitude was, Lord, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me home. And again, that's what God's Word will do. Think of God's Word as a roadmap that leads us to an eternal dwelling, an eternal home. You see, that's the prize that Paul was pursuing, and that was always in his mind. He never lost sight of it. Even being a Christian for 30 years, as we're reading Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, this is my determination. As I go through life, this is what motivates me to live. This is what motivates me to grow. This is what motivates me to suffer. It's the prize. And so as long as I'm going through this life, I am going to run the race. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to pursue the prize. Number two, if we're going to pursue the prize that we see here in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, we have to put forth maximum effort. Maximum effort in pursuing the prize. We're talking about dedication. We're talking about commitment. Oh, what you see in Paul's words and what you see in his life. In fact, if you will turn over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is encouraging us how to think, how to live. Look at what he says in verse number 9. Verse number 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. Paul says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, Paul practiced what he preached. What you see in verse number 9 is Paul's commitment. You see Paul's dedication. Oh, he was aware of the prize, and Paul was making every effort on his part to pursue the prize. Again, it takes determination. It takes commitment. And Paul realized that he couldn't do it on his own. In Philippians 4, verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The strength came from the Lord that gave him the ability and the energy to run the Christian race, to reach forth toward the prize, toward the goal of receiving that eternal prize, determination and commitment. Now, there's no question, Paul was determined. There's no question that Paul was committed in pursuing the prize. The question, though, is how committed are we? How determined are we to pursue the prize? As I mentioned earlier in our lesson, it's important to examine ourselves spiritually speaking, to consider where we're at spiritually speaking. Am I pursuing the prize? Is this the determination that I have? Do I have this same kind of commitment and determination like I see in Paul? Am I determined, Philippians 3, verse number 10, to know Him and to have fellowship in the sufferings of Christ? Am I willing to suffer for godliness if called upon? Oh, we learn in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus reminds His apostles that the world is going to hate you. It hated me, it's going to hate you. We should never be ashamed of the gospel. We should always be willing to suffer for His cause, to pay the price. You know, from the book of Philippians, and I'm trying to really keep our thoughts here in the book of Philippians with the points that we're making, but listen to what Paul says here in Philippians 1, verse number 29. He says, "For unto you it is given the behalf of Christ, not only to, listen to it, to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." We must believe in Him, but if we are totally dedicated and committed to the Lord, making every effort to pursue the prize, we'll be willing to ultimately lay down our life for the Lord, like Paul, and like so many of our first century brethren. You know, I'm reminded of what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, again, Paul wants us to think spiritually speaking, to be aware of the prize so that we will make every effort on our part to pursue the prize. But when you really look at what Paul is saying in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the only way that we will have this kind of commitment, the only way that we will have the same kind of determination is by learning or by being a living sacrifice. By being that living sacrifice, offering up spiritual sacrifices. You know, as we worship our God this morning, every Christian in here is a part of God's priesthood. Every Christian in here is a priest. And we're to be a living sacrifice. 1 Peter 2, 5, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Again, that takes determination and effort on our part because we can become easily distracted. And when we become distracted, we lose focus. And when we lose focus, we lose interest. And when we lose interest, we stop pursuing the prize. Think about Demas. In 2 Timothy 4, verse number 10, Demas having loved this present world. Turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. As I said, Paul loved looking at the athletic world, drawing spiritual analogies from the athletic world to help us understand spiritual truths. Now, as we turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, many believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Lots of debate on who wrote the book of Hebrews. What you need to be concerned with is God is the author. Hebrews is inspired. This comes from God. But you see the same terminology that Paul loved and that Paul alluded to so often right here in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what the writer says, beginning at verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now that takes us back to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, we read about those heroes of faith, those who were pursuing the prize. You remember what it said of Abraham? He looked for that city whose foundation and builder is God. He was looking for that heavenly city. Even Abraham, as he sojourned here upon this earth, he was pursuing the prize. He was thinking about that heavenly home. And so in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, we're to be like them. We're to live like them. And the writer goes on to say there in verse 1, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience." The idea is endurance, steadfastness, the race that is set before us. Keep that in mind. You run how? With steadfastness, perseverance. Don't stop running. There are things, the writer says, that can slow you down, that can weigh you down. What is it that slows us down? What is it that weighs us down? What is it that can distract us? What is it that can cause us to lose interest in pursuing the prize? Oh, it's the old wicked world that we live in. It's sin that weighs us down. We're to lay aside. Just like a runner at this time out, he would train, he would put on an extra backpack, he would put extra weights tied to his legs, and he would train that way. But when he competed, he would lay aside those weights so he would be able to run faster. Again, we're to lay aside the weight of sin, because sin is a burden that weighs us down, that keeps us from pursuing the prize. And verse number 2, we're to look to Jesus. You see, we're to keep our focus. We are to make every effort to keep our eyes on Jesus, knowing that, you know what? There's going to be distractions. There's going to be things that will cause us to lose our focus. We have to make every effort on our part to keep our eye on the goal. This one thing, Paul says, I do. Don't stop running the race. You can't cross the finish line. Therefore, you can't receive the prize if you stop running the race. Think about what Paul said to the brethren at Galatia. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You were running well. You were aware of the pursuit. And you were making every effort on your part to pursue the prize. What happened? You go back to the book of Galatians and you can see what happened. They became distracted. Some of them had turned to another gospel, probably dealing with Judaism. Others were giving in to the lust of the flesh, as you'll read in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says the flesh and the spirit are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You see the distractions. And by the way, those same distractions are the distractions that we are challenged with, that can slow us down, that can cause us to take our eyes off the goal. Again, if we're going to pursue the prize, we have to be aware of the need. And number 2, we need to make every effort on our part to pursue the prize and never look back. Never look back. You remember Lot's wife? When you hear Lot's wife, you know what she did in Luke chapter 17, verse number 32. She looked back. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 62, for whosoever puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Friends, we cannot be looking back. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to take our eye off the goal. He wants us to stop pursuing the prize. He wants us to practice mediocrity. Give as little as we can to the Lord, and yet still feel like we're pursuing the prize. Oh, we have to make that determination. We have to be so committed. We have to have the same kind of focus, I would say narrow focus, as the Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3. This one thing I do. And then number 3, we must have singleness of mind in pursuing the prize. Again, when I look at what Paul is saying, I see that Paul had a narrow focus as he went through this life. I'm never going to take my eye off the goal as I'm living the Christian life, as I face temptation, as I face the trials. I am going to focus all of my attention on the prize. By the way, I mentioned Hebrews chapter 12. The writer uses this analogy. By the way, without question, Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses the same analogy. And listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because this can be so helpful to what we see here in Philippians chapter 3 as we think about this last point. about singleness of mind. We must have singleness of mind in pursuing the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, read with me verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Listen to it. So run, so live, that is, that ye may obtain, that ye may win, that ye may finish, that ye may gain the prize. And look at what he says in verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest by in any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see what Paul is saying in verse number 27? Do you see again the focus, the singleness, the single-mindedness that Paul has in pursuing the prize? Again, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. You see, Paul practiced self-discipline. Paul knew that he couldn't just live any way that he wanted to live. He knew that there was a way that God wanted him to live as he lived the Christian life. And so he was so focused on pursuing the prize. This type of focus, going back to Philippians chapter 3, this type of focus demands two things. Look at verse number 13. Again, this type of single-mindedness determines takes two things, demands two things. Look at verse number 13. This one thing I do, number one, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. What is Paul talking about here? Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul is talking about his past. Now, as you go through Scripture, Paul talks about his past. Paul talks about the things that he did. But Paul knew that he had been forgiven of those things. He didn't mull over in his past. And Paul, as you know, did some horrible, horrible things, forgetting the things which are behind. You know, God promises that when we meet His terms of pardon, when we obey His plan of salvation, our sins are washed away. Acts 2, verse number 38. That is a promise that God makes to every person who obeys the gospel. Their sins, their iniquities will I remember no more. Old Testament passage, Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our sins from us. I need to remember that as I pursue the prize, because you know what the devil wants me to do? Oh, he wants me to dwell on the past. He wants to try to deceive me into thinking that, you know what, God hasn't forgiven me of my past. Clay, you did some horrible things. Why would God forgive you? Because He promised to forgive me. You know, if you're struggling with your past, you focus more on the promises of God, like Paul. Forgetting those things which are in the past, and notice the second determination. And reaching forth to what is ahead. Paul looked at the course that he had to run. And you see Paul again, not looking back, but you see Paul reaching forward. Having again that determination in pursuing the prize. I hope Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 remind you about the prize that we're all pursuing. I hope you are excited about the Christian life. As I said this morning, it's wonderful to be a Christian. God offers us so much in His Son. We have so much to live for. Don't forget about the prize. Be sure that you are pursuing the prize. Remember these three principles that will help you as you pursue the prize. Remember, there must be an awareness. Number two, remember that we must make every effort on our part. And remember the determination that it takes in pursuing the prize. You know, as we're reading Philippians chapter 3, we can fast forward and we can come to the end of Paul's life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, you remember Paul saying, "I have fought a good fight." He then says, "I have finished my course." The course that Paul mentions there in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, takes us back to Philippians chapter 3. It reminds us that Paul, as he went through life, was pursuing the prize. And he could say at the end of his life, "I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day. Not only to me, but unto all them also that love His appearing. To them also who go through this life pursuing the prize." Are you pursuing the prize? Are you living the Christian life in a way that God wants you to live? Do you have that type of determination, the kind of commitment that it takes to be faithful to God? If you are a Christian, but if that doesn't really describe your life, I hope this morning that you will make those changes. We're about to offer the Lord's invitation. And the Lord's invitation is always open to those who need to respond. It might be that you're a Christian and you need the prayers of the church. You need encouragement in pursuing the prize. We want you to know that we're here to encourage you to have a greater commitment. We want you to know that God is here this morning to encourage you to have that greater commitment. You see, God's Word says, "Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not." If you're not a Christian, this morning is an opportunity for you to put the Lord on in baptism.